Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Merry Christmas. You can't be surprised that we are going to land here for our Christmas sermon. After all, if you know me, you absolutely know the shepherds are my favorite character in this story. Why? I relate to them. They're just hardworking, average people. For the most part, nobody wanted them in their neighborhood. The shepherds were the last people you want to move in your neighborhood. That means they bring all the sheep with them. You know what that's going to make your neighborhood smell like? Yeah, they'd smell like sheep. Nobody wanted them there. And not only that, under normal circumstances, nobody would invite them to the party. I mean, these are shepherds. They're, not only do their sheep smell bad because they hang around with their sheep all the time. I don't care how many showers you take. You hang out with sheep a long time, you smell like sheep. Why would I want to invite you to my house to come and sit on my furniture or to be there? Nobody would have invited them to the party. And the main reason I like the shepherds is, well, when Linus was trying to explain the meaning of Christmas, this is the story that he told. And well, if it's good enough for Linus, then it's good enough for me. Combine all that with the fact that we are now in another week of our current sermon series that's called Sheepish. You see, my Sheepish sermon series is going to be a Christmas sermon series. Got my hat ready, got everything going. We're all good. We are looking at the idea of what it means to be a shepherd. Because the reality is, Jesus did not want to make us good sheep, but instead great shepherds. Let that roll around in your head for a minute. I've made that statement. This is the fifth week in a row I've made that statement. And just let that continue to roll in your head. Jesus did not come to make you a good sheep. He came to make you a great shepherd. And when we've learned some things in this Sheepish series, we've learned that to be a shepherd, you have to have a sheep. It's the first requirement. No sheep, no shepherd. Now, if you don't have a sheep, I guess you could have a little sign around you, unemployed shepherd, but you have to have a sheep if you're going to call yourself a shepherd. You only have to have one, but you got to have one. Not only do you have to have a sheep, you have to have commitment to the sheep. That means your life has to extend and wrap around them, and sheep are needy creatures. Yeah, that sounds like church, doesn't it? full of all kinds of needs. It says that when you have that commitment, it isn't just a commitment you talk about. It is a commitment that causes you to take action. We learned this when little boy Blue was asked him to climb out from under his haystack and take a look at the world around him and see that the sheep were wandering everywhere. It was time to take some action. And then last week, we talked about the idea that you have a responsibility for all the sheep God gives you, not just the ones you like. And we get this way. You know, there are sheep I like, and there are some sheep that drive me crazy. And then there are other sheep that sometimes you're just like, I don't get it. But God says you have to have responsibility for all of the sheep that God gives you. And well, this week, we've pelted you pretty hard the past 3 weeks. I know. This week, you get to take a breath. Because this is a Christmas sermon series. So this is not going to be as hard as the others. What we're going to talk about this week is, how is a shepherd called? Here's the funny thing. Like the story, this outline I'm going to give you today, I should probably get to like point number one. You're like, oh, I can fill in my blanks now before I even says anything. You should be able to fill this in almost by memory. Because you know what? We're going to follow an outline that is very, very familiar. I know you've seen it at least one time a year for the last 9 years. So as we begin to call our shepherds, where are the shepherds? There they are. They're in the community. And there were shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. So when we find the shepherds, where are the shepherds? They're out in the field. Duh. Where else would they be? They're out in the field because that is where the shepherds lived their life. It's out in the field. Okay, so they're out in the field. We do a lot of things in fields these days. We go play ball in fields. You know, we used to play capture the flag in fields when I was younger. I don't do that as much as, okay, I don't do that at all anymore. I've gotten old. But fields are a big thing. What were they doing in the field? Duh. They're watching sheep. That's what a shepherd does, right? Shepherds watch sheep. So as we begin to find their story, they're sitting out in the community, and all they're doing is they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're just part of the community. They're there. They were just living. That's it. You know how it works, right? You take care of the sheep. When the season comes and they're all nice and fluffy and woolly, you shear the sheep, and then you take the wool to the market and you sell the wool, and they turn it into all kind of clothes, and then you go back and you take care of the sheep. So they grow more wool, and maybe every now and then somebody comes and says, hey, I'd like a sheep for dinner. So you sell one that maybe isn't producing the wool like you want them to produce. So, you know, that one becomes dinner. Or, you know, so but they're just living. They're not doing anything special. And they certainly, absolutely, positively weren't looking for anything that was spiritual. That's all they were doing, was just living. And well, even though they were in the community, they needed an invitation. So I'd like to take a look at the invitation. You know, when it comes to the shepherd's story, the invitation is the big part of the story. It says in verses 9 through 14. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in the manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace, goodwill to those whose favor rests. I'm kind of feeling like we have something going on downstairs, so we have a sound issue going on our things downstairs. So I'm going to move this here. Just so, remind me to move it back, Patty. This is your mic. So this will hopefully help some of our people downstairs. It looks like we've got something going on. This might, and it's on. I'm not going to cut it off. We know what will happen if I do that. So let's talk about this invitation, because it's an important invitation that we, the church, need to remember if we're going to go out and invite the community to come in. Here's the first thing about the invitation. It went to them. Wouldn't this have been easier if God put Jesus in the manger and just put some giant spotlights over the manger and had him going back and forth across the sky like this and maybe skywriting and said, hey, come and see? That's not how he invited them. How did he invite them? What he did is he said, hey, I want to send the message out to them. This past Thursday night, we did our first round of mug handouts. I wanted so desperately to call this little activity we're doing Mug Your Neighbor, but it just didn't sound like a good idea. So we just kind of went with passing out gifts at the park. But we went out and we handed out 70 mugs in 54 minutes. Here's the funny thing. When you handed that car that mug, there were some of them that looked at you, they're like, thank you. And others looked at you and like, some kept their windows rolled up and drove as fast as they could. Some wanted to give us some money back. They assumed we were out taking donations. I had one person, and when I handed them the mug, and it was the very last one of the night, and I flagged her down, and I handed her the mug, and she looked at me, and she's like, why? And the only answer I could come up with is, Merry Christmas. It's Christmas. But the important thing is, we took the invitations to them, because that is the way God says we are supposed to do it. We're supposed to go out to where they are, and the invitation has a personal touch to it. Did you pay attention to all of those eyes that you see? I bring, but who's he bringing it to? You. Born to you. Assigned to you. This wasn't some generic little invitation that God had pre-printed out that he was going to scatter all over the place. God said this is a personal invitation for the shepherds to come and see. Not only was it personal, it was an understandable message. Now, I think this is where we mess up a lot of times in church, because we make an invitation and we're trying to get people to come, and then they come and they're like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Man, you use more big words than I've ever used in my entire life. And really, I don't think you should ever use a word that you can't spell. But if I did that, I would not be able to say anything, because I have trouble sometimes spelling cat. You know, so but you do understand, you can't use great big words. It had to be an understandable message. And note what the message says. Where? City of David. Bethlehem. What? It's a birthday. The Messiah is born. How do I know I found the right child? Well, this is what you're looking for. You're looking for a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Could you imagine if you were having a birthday party and you invited somebody and you just made an invitation and you didn't give them those basic information? Where are you going? What are we doing when we get there? And how do I know I found the right place? That's the right invitation. That's the invitations the shepherds got. But it wasn't just to them. It wasn't just personal. It wasn't just understandable. Guess what? It was exciting. There was nothing boring about this message. Nobody went out to the shepherds and said, hey, look, you know, we got this thing going on. And if you don't have anything else to do, and if you can get a half a day off from the sheep, and if you really... No. Did you hear the invitation? The angel came and he said, hey, guess what? The Messiah's been born, and I'm here to tell you about it. And then God added the exclamation point. He had a whole chorus join in, so the shepherds looked at him like, oh my gosh, we're being invited. We have to go. We have to go see. It's time for us to accept this invitation. And well, where did they go? They went from the crowd and from the community into the crowd. It's on?
The other one.
Which one? This one?
I'm
sorry, what, Sherry? Okay, is that better? We'll try it that way. I don't know what's going on with the lapel mic. It's doing weird things.
Well, even that one is.
Okay. It's still on. The lapel's on. Okay. Okay. All right. It's okay. Hang on. I didn't know what's going on. All right. Testing. All right. I'm going to stop wearing Christmas sweaters. All right. So here we go. So we move into the crowd. We'll try that too. Let me get my call around me. I don't know. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they had to do something interesting. They had to respond to the invitation. They couldn't just sit around the hill and say, "Hey, that was awesome. I wonder if we sit here long enough that those angels will come back and invite us again." They couldn't sit there and debate over what kind of angel it was. "I think that was a seraphim. No, I think definitely a cherubim. I don't know. I think it was some other species that we ain't never seen before." They didn't do any of that. They decided to take the next step. And that step would lead them to Bethlehem. This is what it says in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, toward Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with his wife, with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Our shepherd friends had to leave their fields. And just so you know, there was no such thing as social distancing in Bethlehem that night. Why? It was crowded. That meant the shepherds were now going to have to be part of the crowd. That's kind of scary. We don't like crowds a whole bunch. But I do want you to see something. Their faith journey had already begun. This is what it said. "Let us go and see this thing that had happened." They had already begun their journey. They had already gotten their invitation. And they had already decided, "This invitation I've gotten must have actually happened. It must be true." They didn't sit there and debate over the invitation or not. "Do you really think it's the Messiah? Really? We've been waiting so long for this now? What do you think? In a manger? That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, shouldn't Messiahs be born in a castle?" No, they didn't debate anything. They simply went. And then it says they searched. Now, this is important because, you know, when they got to Bethlehem, you would have thought that, you know, God had like maybe put a lighted path out there, tell them which way to go, which way to turn, which way to do things. But it says they actually had to search. I wonder how many barns they went to. Probably got one. They opened the door like nothing here but cows. Went to the next one. "Well, this one's a pig barn. So no, this ain't the right one." They probably went from barn to barn looking for the right place to go until they found. It was going to take some effort on their part, folks. They had to go, and they had to be part of the crowd. And once they became part of the crowd, and once they found the right place, they went from being part of the crowd to be connected. This is what it says in verse 16. "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." You know what's important about that? One word. Hurried. Because you know what? Responding to the invitation they had been given now became a priority in their life. And it's not like they weren't doing nothing, right? I mean, they were busy people before. They had all these sheep to look at. And they had all of these things to take care of. And so now with this invitation that came to them, like, you know what? This invitation is so important that which I was called, that I thought I was supposed to be doing, I'm going to put that on the back burner. I don't actually believe they just let the sheep wander around while they go. I got a feeling they probably were good shepherds, and they took the sheep to a sheep pen and put them in a safe place, and then they went off and looked. But it says they hurried. They didn't want to miss out. They understood what was going on was something different, and it wasn't going to be there forever for them to go see. And so it says they became very rushed in what they were doing. And when they found, what they found matched exactly what they told, what they were told. You know how important that is? The angels didn't give them false advertisement. Could you imagine how discouraging it was if it would have been if the angels showed up and gave this great big speech about the Messiah coming, and then they went and they looked everywhere and they checked all the mangers and they looked in all the little places and all the little back corners. They found no baby. Maybe they found a baby, but the baby that they found wasn't wrapped in cloth. Maybe they saw babies, but they weren't in mangers. You get what they went looking for is what they had to find. And again, I want you to think about the church. A lot of times we go out and we invite people and we say, come and meet Jesus. Is that what they find when they show up? Or do they find something that maybe doesn't quite fit the bill? I think sometimes our invitations don't work that well because people have become skeptical. Too often times we've been guilty of false advertisement. We advertise Jesus, and that's not what they found. So they went through the process here. They started out in the community. They moved into the crowd. They made the connection. You know what the last one's coming, right? You've got the blank already filled in, I bet. At least I hope so at this point. They made a commitment to what they found. This is what it says in verses 17 and 18. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Please keep in mind, they probably didn't stay at the manger a long time. How do I know? Because Mary had just given birth to a child, and the last thing Mary wanted was grown men standing there where she had just given birth to a child. They didn't sit there a long time, and not to mention they had sheep to take care of, right? They had to get back to what they were doing. So they came, and they saw, and then they left. But as they left, they had a new commitment in their life. As they left, they were committed to telling others. Isn't that what it says they did? They left that manger, and I want you to, again, get the picture. This is a crowded city that's been jam-packed full of people. And as they left that city, everybody they ran across and said, let me tell you about what just happened to us. They probably told them about the angels. They probably told them about some of the mundane things, how they had to get the sheep put away before they came to Bethlehem. They probably told them about some of the frustrating things as they went from barn to barn looking for this baby in this crowded city, and they found a few empty wells before they found the right one. Maybe they told about what they felt as they sat there and they saw the fulfillment of the prophecy and the Messiah is here. Please keep in mind, these were not theologians. They were just shepherds. These men hadn't gone to Bible college. Nobody had taught them how to dissect the scripture. They didn't have a cheat sheet written on the inside of their hand that said, let me share to you the 5 points of what... They weren't theologians. They were just shepherds. And the thing is, because they were just shepherds, they told what they heard and what they saw. You know what that's called, right? It's called a testimony. All they did is tell their story. They probably didn't even quote scripture unless they maybe said the one that the angel had said to them. They were just there. And now that they were leaving, They were going to tell everybody, because guess what? It says they told it more than once. They didn't just find one person, let me tell you about it, but shh, 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 keep it a secret. We don't want too many people to find Jesus. It'll get a little too crowded around that manger. If you think some of those people that they told didn't go to that manger and poke their head in that door and say, I got to see this for myself. That's the point. You get it, right? They kept telling their story over and over and over. As a matter of fact, I'm going to lay a bet. Scripture doesn't tell this. This is Barry's hypothesis, okay? I am betting it was probably 50 years later, and they were sitting at the table, and they were still sitting there telling the exact same story about the night the angels came and Jesus showed up in their life. They're probably still telling it. They probably told their kids and their grandkids and their grandkids' grandkids. It was probably one of those stories that the kids roll their eyes like, okay, he's going to tell the story again. All right. People, their family could probably tell the story right along with them because they told it over and over and over. Why? Because it changed their life. They got to see Jesus. They got to see people respond to the message of Jesus. It says all who heard were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Everybody they talked to was like, oh my gosh, we have to go see this for ourselves. Isn't that what we're trying to do? Think about it. Have you answered the call for Christmas? Here's what I mean by that. So let's assume right now I'm going to talk to those that are followers of Christ. So at some point in your life, you came in contact with this guy named Jesus. Somebody told you the story. They gave you an invitation, and you responded. That's kind of how you start the following thing. But what did you do with it after that? Has it plugged into your life to the point where you're sharing it? Have you answered the real call to Christmas? Because the real call to Christmas was not come to the manger. What was the real call of Christmas? Go and tell others about what you experienced at the manger. Go and tell others your story. Go and tell others Jesus is here. For unto you is born this day a Messiah who is Christ the Lord. I think a lot of times we forget that. We think getting to the manger is enough. I'm going to challenge you. Every sheep can get to a manger. They have food. They'll find it. It takes a shepherd to go and share that experience with the world. So have you answered the call to Christmas? So I'm going to move my mic back here. And I'm going to hope.